Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Every student in Massachusetts with special needs is entitled to a learning plan called an Individualized Education Program. Each plan is a personalized list of the services a student needs to reach their educational goals. Now, the process of developing and monitoring these plans is getting a major overhaul, and special education advocates and teachers are applauding the move. WBUR's Carrie Young has more.
When Evan Gabovich was a public school student, the annual meetings to review his special education plans always felt stressful.
I mean, in middle school, it was pretty bad.
It was hard to hear teachers at Lexington Public Schools list out the things he couldn't do. Even when he wanted to inject ideas, he remembers the conversations were tense.
There was a lot more resistance, not just about my suggestions, but also on what my parents want, and that teachers and the administration wanted to impose what they thought. And that could be very difficult sometimes.
Gabovich is a person on the autism spectrum who graduated from high school 9 years ago. But the frustration of those meetings and the harsh focus on deficits stick with him.
It's all about perception of self. If the system does not view you in a positive way, how are you going to succeed?
But for the existing generation of students in special education today, these IEP meetings may start to take a different tone, thanks to a revised set of paperwork that guides families and educators through the process. It's the first update in more than 20 years and the result of a 9-year effort led by advocates like Gabovich and others.
A form is a form. It's not by itself going to remove the barriers that many students face, but in an effective form, we're hoping can really help to provide access.
That's Julia Landau with Massachusetts Advocates for Children. She hopes the new prompts and questions might open up a better dialogue in a process that parents and students often describe as intimidating.
So I think there was a consensus that there should be change.
Landau's organization also felt the old paperwork focused too heavily on deficits. It didn't ask if a student was an English learner, and above all, the forms didn't adhere to the spirit of the Federal Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, which requires that students have input in coming up with post-secondary goals.
The youth voice wasn't empowered in the way the lawmakers contemplated. Older youth are legally required to become active participants in their IEP process and that they align IEPs with the youth's goals for employment and living independently.
In Massachusetts, more than 177,000 kids have an IEP, or about 19% of the entire student enrollment. Pam Nurse, the executive director of the Federation for Children with Special Needs, says only a handful of states, including Connecticut, have made similar updates to their IEP forms and processes in recent years.
It's not something that any state takes lightly, but it's not something that happens often, and it's only with a lot of thought and consideration.
In Massachusetts, that thought and consideration took nearly a decade of input and negotiation between dozens of stakeholders.
We wanted to also think of the IEP as a stronger driver for outcomes for students with disabilities, and how could a change in the planning process lead to better implementation of special education services?
Russell Johnston is the state's Associate Commissioner of Education. While this was a big lift, he says it was important to take the time to get it right. Now, the new paperwork asks about successes, strengths, and skills before highlighting concerns. It seeks out student and parent input for goals and accommodations, and it asks if the student is at risk for bullying.
I think we're going to hear a lot more of the voice of the student right from the beginning, even at young ages. We want to know, where does this child want to go? We're also going to make sure that we're really thinking about the transition to the next level, particularly students who are transitioning out of special education.
Educators can see the new forms starting today, though districts won't be mandated to use them until the fall of 2024. But a handful of districts have been piloting the updates since September and have, so far, offered good feedback. Plimpton Elementary School teacher Meredith Lee says one family in Waltham told her the new process felt like a breath of fresh air.
That really opens up a lot of positive energy within the room. It makes the parents feel like they can participate because they're able to give what they see in their home, what they see in the community for their learner. And that opens up a whole different dialogue.
Evan Gabovich, the Lexington High grad, says while not perfect, the new form represents progress.
It's not a small incremental update. This is a heavy duty update. Something will come of it, but the job will never be done fully.
On his radar next is addressing equity issues for students of color with autism and others from marginalized backgrounds. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Carrie Young.